I said drop it! This has gone far enough!
But Captain...
No buts, Detective. You're chasing your tail into a dead end. Until you can back up your gut with some real evidence, I don't want to hear another damn word on it. That's final. Now get your ass out on the street. Do some real police work for a change.
Those words played over and over again in my head as I drove away from the department, foot nearly crushing the gas pedal into the floor of my 86 Honda Civic. It took me a minute to realize I was terracing down a stretch of empty street before I got my anger under control. That's all I needed on top of everything else, getting pulled over for speeding. My name's Miranda Wrights. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. I've heard all the jokes. It hasn't been easy being a cop with a name like that, so I usually go by Mira. Although just having a last name like Wrights doesn't make things any less of a pain. I'm a detective at the Wentworth District Precinct in Chicago, Special Investigations Unit. Been on the force for about 5 years now. 5 years of hard work, proving I was as good as any man on the force. Even in this day and age, women in positions of authority seem to have to work harder than the opposite sex to get a damn iota of respect. Anyway, I spent the last 7 months on this oddball case of B&E, that's breaking and entering. A series of burglaries perpetrated by someone the department and the rest of Chicago have dubbed the Phantom. So named because there's been practically no evidence of who broke in or how. That's not the odd part, though. Within a few days of each theft, the stolen item in question mysteriously returns to its owner, once again with no trace evidence. No fingerprints, no DNA, nothing. The rest of the force thinks it's some kind of message, mocking the lacking security or even the police outright. Whatever the reasoning behind it, I've been assigned to the case to put a stop to it. When I was initially assigned to the case, I thought it was a joke. Most of the other officers at the precinct don't think I can handle a serious case, so it was only natural I thought it was a put-on. Hell, I think that's why they put me in the SI department to begin with. But as the repeated instances of similar burglaries kept cropping up, I found myself becoming dedicated to it. Regardless of why I was assigned, I was determined to solve this case and prove I was more capable than they gave me credit for. The only viable evidence that we were able to recover from any of the crime scenes was a residue found where security guards were found knocked out. Lab tests concluded it was an incapacitating agent containing very minute traces of fentanyl. Now, fentanyl is a potent drug often used in clinical anesthetics, and there was only one company in town that was currently synthesizing and distributing it, Lockland Industries, a pharmaceutical company that specialized in drug synthesis and development. So it was only natural the next step in the investigation was speaking to the head of the company. Gregor McCallum, fifth generation owner of Lockland, and thus a born millionaire. That being said, he ran the company with intelligence and dedication. He was always on top of what was going on under his management, and it showed. He was also a very shrewd businessman. Or so these were all things I had heard. Detective Wrights, Chicago Police Department. I'm here to speak with Mr. McCallum.
One moment, please. Sir, there's a Detective Wrights here to see you. Please head on in, Detective.
That was the first time I saw him. At the end of a spacious office was a desk sitting in front of a large window. He was partially silhouetted as he stood at his desk, but I clearly made out his features. I'd heard he was close to 40, but he sure didn't look it. He had the face of someone in his mid-20s. It was easy to tell by the very well-tailored suit he wore that he bore a svelte, athletic frame. His hair was strawberry blonde in a professional shortcut style, and dark green eyes greeted me as he delivered a welcoming smile in my direction. It was the first time in over 10 years I felt my heart skip a beat just looking at a man. The sound of the door closing behind me snapped me back to attention, and I approached the desk, stopping a few feet from it.
Good afternoon, Detective.
I have no idea why, but the Scottish brogue that flowed from him made my heart skip a second time. I took a short breath to compose myself before responding. I'm Detective Wrights with the Special Investigations Department. I was hoping to ask you a few questions, Mr. McCallum.
I gathered that. Well, what about? Why in some sort of trouble?
No, I just had a few questions regarding your company. Your lab synthesized fentanyl to be used in analgesics and anesthetics for distribution to local hospitals and medical centers.
That's correct. Why'd that interest you? It's perfectly legal.
Are you at all familiar with the recent string of burglaries in the city?
You mean a phantom thief case? What does that have to do with my company?
Some of the crime scenes had residue that forensics identified containing traces of fentanyl. They deduced it had been used in a gas mixture, meaning the quantity of fentanyl would have had to have been higher than normal to leave even the minute traces that were left behind. Seeing as your company specializes in its development and distribution, we wanted to see if you'd heard of any shipments or supplies that may have gone missing recently.
I know. That is something. Sorry to disappoint you, Detective. I haven't heard of any of our stores going missing. I'll make sure everything's accounted for, personally. How many stupid bastards out there are going to sneak a sample who knows what out there? I have to stay on my toes. Have you tried checking with the hospitals?
We plan to, but considering the potency of the fentanyl, you were the first we thought to ask.
I understand, and I appreciate you bringing this to my attention. If I find out anything, I'll let you know. You have a number where I could reach you?
Here. This is the number for our department. Please call right away if you find out anything that could be of help.
Of course, Miss Wright. May I know your first name?
Mira.
Mira. That wouldn't be short for Miranda now, would it?
Yes.
It suits you.
Huh?
Yeah? Thank you, Sarah. You'll excuse me, Detective. I have another appointment waiting.
That last smile he gave me before I left had my chest pounding. It wasn't until I saw my reflection in the elevator door that I realized my face was flushed. God, I felt like an idiot, quickly shaking my head to clear my thoughts. After that, I followed up with investigating the local hospitals and other clinics that received shipments from Lachland. Everyone turned up empty. None of them were missing any chemicals or drugs. 4 more months passed with no leads, and 5 additional crime scenes to check out. I pored over everything in the case that I could, but nothing was connecting. None of those who'd been stolen from had anything in common. Well, other than being rich socialites and business moguls. I was starting to reach my wit's end. A few days after that point, we received a call from Martin Jones, another businessman high up on the city's financial ladder. He was apparently convinced that he was going to be one of the next victims. As much as I didn't want to deal with a paranoid tycoon, my job made refusal impossible. I drove to the Jones household in order to get the man's statement. What I hadn't expected to see as I walked along the drive was the front door opening and Gregor McCallum stepping out. My feet halted as I stared in momentary surprise.
Ah, good afternoon, Detective Wright. Didn't think it was you, Martin called.
Mr. McCallum? Why are you here?
Well, Martin's an old friend of mine. He's been fidgety as hell over this whole Phantom business. He's positive he's the next one got robbed. I came by to try and calm him down. Gave him your department's number in case something came up. Didn't think he was going to call someone over outright.
You don't happen to know why he thinks he'll be hit next, do you?
Not in the slightest. But he's always been a bit paranoid. Especially after his wife up and divorced him. Took nearly half what he owned. So you can imagine he don't trust many people anymore.
I see.
Are you on any leads on the case?
I'm not really supposed to discuss it so openly, but to put it bluntly, no. I don't suppose you found anything amiss in your company.
Sorry, I made sure the stocks and logs were double and triple checked. Nothing's missing. If this Phantom of yours is using anesthetic compounds, then I'll get him from my company.
All right. Thank you for your help, Mr. McCallum.
Here. If you have any other questions I could possibly answer for you, please give me a call.
Thank you, but I already have your office number.
Please, call me directly. This'll save time. Or if you like, you could just call so we can make it up and share a drink.
Excuse me?
Forgive me, Detective. You can't blame me for asking a lovely woman if I had a drink, can you?
I'm flattered, Mr. McCallum. But I'm afraid I can't socialize with someone involved in an ongoing investigation. Even if you are just involved in an advisory capacity.
Well then, please keep the number safe for after the case is closed. The drink offer stands. Now if you'll excuse me, I only have to get back to my office. Have a good evening, Detective.
I stood watching his back as he walked off and got into his waiting car. I wasn't sure how long I was standing there in disbelief over what just happened. Though I admit that his offer wasn't entirely unwelcome. I eventually spoke to Mr. Jones and made my best attempts to reassure him. For the sake of the man's sanity, along with my own, I called a couple of officers in to help keep an eye on his place. As my luck would have it, I received a call of another burglary elsewhere, and Mr. Jones' place was never touched. Naturally, I got reamed by the captain for wasting manpower, as well as not preventing the next theft. I was starting to get desperate. I spent the next 2 weeks checking and rechecking everything in the case, trying to find a connection. It didn't matter how small it was, I had to find something. And I did. It was staring me right in the face, and I never even realized it. My hunch led me to the residence of Elizabeth Clark, a wealthy heiress and socialite. When I pulled up to the estate, there were a gathering of cars and bodies present. Evidently, there was a party going on. I showed my badge to security and declared to speak to Miss Clark before I was ushered into the building. Entering the large foyer displayed a crowd of guests, all finely dressed. Men in suits, women in slinky yet lavish gowns with their hair and makeup professionally done. Though I wasn't in rags, my own clothes were pretty low class by comparison and made me stick out like a sore thumb. Security led me into the main hall where the bulk of the guests were idling. I was made to stand by the bottom of the large stairwell while they headed upstairs to fetch their employer. I stood there, looking out at the sea of bodies. I hadn't realized just how many people existed in Chicago's wealthy bracket until then. I could see numerous pairs of eyes moving in my direction occasionally. Many of them bearing looks of disapproval at my presence. I was starting to feel noticeably uncomfortable as time ticked by. Then I was caught off guard at feeling a hand on mine. My body turned with a jerk, my other hand instinctively reaching for my pistol. I froze in surprise as I saw who had taken my hand.
Good evening, Miss Wrights.
Gregor had my hand lifted to his face, placing a chivalrous kiss to the bend of my knuckles, as his deep green eyes met my own. Mr. McCallum? The surprise was evident in my voice. I only hoped the flush I felt rush into my cheeks wasn't overtly visible.
I don't suppose now would be a good time for you to take me up on that drink.
It took me a moment to pick my jaw up off the floor while my hand remained in his grasp.
I wasn't expecting to see you here.
I can see that. Sorry if I startled you.
I can't really talk right now. I'm waiting to see Miss Clark.
Oh? Well, I think that might be a while. Last I saw, she gone to study with Sarah Others. All meant to. Quite scandalous. While you're waiting, please allow me to keep you company.
Thank you, but that's not necessary.
Before I knew what was happening, I was being pulled against him and out into the crowd of others dancing. I should have fought back and pulled away from him without a second thought. But I didn't. I felt frozen, as if my body had somehow become magnetized to his. Blood rushed further to my face, even as I felt the eyes of several of the other guests lingering on me incredulously. When I looked up at him, my heart pounded. He had a soft smile on his face. His focus was on me. Only me. As though no one else was even there. My body seemed to move with his naturally, as if we had always moved in sync. It took me close to half a minute to find my tongue again.
Mr. McCallum.
Please, call me Gregor.
Mr. McCallum, this is a bad idea. I'm here on a case, and you're dancing with a cop. Everyone's staring.
Then let them stare. I'm at a party dancing with a beautiful woman. I see nothing wrong with that.
My chest fluttered at that comment, but I stood my ground, vocally at least. I'm here on a case.
Then let's talk about it. I'm assuming it's related to the Phantom robberies.
Yes.
You think Elizabeth will be the next one hit?
How did you...
Oh, why else would you be here? My only question is what led you to that conclusion.
My thoughts faltered for a few moments, debating on how I should answer. Before I knew it, I was telling him the truth. You did.
Pardon?
It didn't make any sense in the beginning. Every single theft seemed random. The only thing anyone had in common was being upper class. At least, at first. Until I noticed one other factor that they all had in common. You. Every single person who was stolen from us had regular contact with you, either through business dealings or personal acquaintance. I didn't think anything of it at first, but when it seemed to be the only other connection I could find, I started looking into your records. I did some checking on all of your recent contacts and noticed Miss Clark had been meeting with you. So I intend to ask her why.
I can already tell you why. She's an investor in my company. And looking to get her fingers into my research department. She thinks that just because she owns company stock that gives her the right to involve herself in what we do. She fancies herself an expert in the field of cosmetic science and thinks she can use my company for that purpose. I've had to repeatedly tell her otherwise.
If you're on such uneasy terms with her, then why are you even here?
Simple. I was invited. I don't care for the woman much, but I still have a reputation to maintain. And I could have easily told you all this if you'd thought to ask. You do have my number.
I can't just call you about everything in the case, Mr. McCallum. Getting all of the information from a single source isn't good police work. I have to investigate everything. Even you.
You think I'm involved?
Maybe. Or someone close to you is. It would explain why all those who were burglarized have some sort of association with you. Could be someone in your company, or even a personal acquaintance. Maybe someone in your science department who knows how to synthesize fentanyl. Which would explain why there isn't any missing from your company.
You're very dedicated to this case, aren't you?
I'm a cop. It's my job.
And tell me, Miss Reitz, what do you think this phantom's motivation is?
We don't have any conclusive...
No? not your department. I want you to tell me what you think. So, why do you think this phantom does what they're doing?
I paused at the question. What did I think? I don't know. I suppose it could be any number of things. Trying to scare people, intimidate them, maybe trying to cast suspicion on you, or even trying to ruin your reputation. Maybe it's some sort of message they're trying to send.
Well, they could be trying to get someone's attention.
Huh?
Well, think about it. Some people go to extreme lengths just to get someone's attention.
I was so focused on his words that I barely noticed his hand was at my waist, pulling me closer to him. His face closed in on mine.
If I were this phantom, I know I'd be doing all I could to get your attention, Miss Wrights. And it seems they've succeeded. Here you are, dancing with me, and your mind is focused on them. I admit it makes me rather envious.
The way his accent rolled off his tongue as his voice lowered had my heart racing. Not to mention how close his face was getting to my own. I was sure that there was no way my face could not be visibly red by that point. I tried to stay composed, but my breathing had become audibly shaken. Mr. McCallum, this is crazy. I hardly know you.
Should it matter? If you disapprove, why aren't you pulling away?
I faltered at the question. He was right. Why wasn't I moving? Why had I let him get so close? My head was a mess and my heart was thudding in my ears. This was nuts. I was a trained police officer. How could I just let my defenses drop around him so damn easily? I felt so damn stupid. And yet, all I wanted was to stay there and become lost in those dark green eyes staring back at me. It was then that I registered warmth leaving me, soon realizing that he had been the one to pull away. I had to blink my eyes clear of the fog I had been in before remembering there were others around us. Remembering just where I was.
Hey, your appointment's here.
It took a moment to garner his meaning before my eyes went to the staircase to see the party's hostess, Elizabeth Clark, descending to the main floor. I turned to look back at Gregor just in time to see him kissing the knuckles of my hand once again with a beguiling smile.
Been a pleasure, Miss Wrights. I'll be waiting to share that drink.
He released my hand and turned, dissolving into the mass of bodies and out of my view. I stood there, staring at the spot where he vanished and trying to wrap my head around what the hell just happened. Talking with Miss Clark didn't reveal anything more past what Gregor had already told me. Aside from the fact that she was excessively full of herself, I was all too happy to leave after my questions had been addressed. I excused myself from the premises soon after, but chose to stake out her property. I parked my Civic across the street and kept an eye on all the guests trickling out as the party came to a close. Hours ticked by as I sat in silence. I should have been focusing on why I was there, but my mind kept jumping back to Gregor. I rubbed my hand, still feeling a tingle where his lips had touched my knuckles. I thought about those eyes of his, dark green like the depths of an uncut emerald. Eyes that seemed to suck me in, inviting me to drown in their gaze. The wash of his breath upon my face, the warmth of his body and the soft rumble of his voice as he'd spoken.
I took a deep breath and shook my head several times. What the hell was I thinking? I was acting like some doe-eyed schoolgirl with a high school crush. I was a cop, for God's sake. I had to focus.
As I cleared my thoughts, it was then that I noticed a sudden movement under the moonlight. I pulled out my binoculars for a better look and focused the lens in time to see a dark figure crouched on the wall of the Clark residence before disappearing over it. It appeared my hunch tonight had been right on the money. But I couldn't just rush onto the property, and security might not let me by in time. So I opted for a different approach. I got out of my car and rushed across the street as stealthily as I could manage. I made my way to where I had seen the figure perching on the wall, figuring they'd be coming back the same way afterward. I drew my sidearm and flipped off the safety, standing there in the shadows, waiting. It was roughly an hour later that I heard a light scuffle on the wall. They had come back the way they came. I hadn't heard any alarms go off. This phantom was good. I kept myself pressed to the wall as tightly as I could to remain out of sight. I watched them land, a box tucked under their arm. Their back was to me. This was my only opening, and I took it. I jumped out from the wall with my gun aimed for their back.
Police! Don't move!
They turned to see me and froze. All I could make out was black. They were covered in a black bodysuit from head to toe, leaving nothing uncovered for identification. No wonder nothing showed up on any of the surveillance cameras.
Drop the box! On the ground with your hands behind your head! Now!
Though I couldn't see their eyes, I felt their gaze on me. A long enough gaze to indicate what was about to happen. I was too slow. The box was thrown at me and I pulled the trigger on instinct. The bullet collided with the box, splitting it open and causing its contents to spill onto the concrete. A set of expensive jewelry. I didn't have time to get much more of a look. One shot was all I'd been able to make before I felt the jarring force of the gun being kicked out of my grasp. A hand grabbed my wrist and my training kicked in, quickly turning things into hand-to-hand combat. We traded multiple blows in the shadows. While I was fast, they were faster and stronger. My nerves were shocked by the pain of my body being slammed into the wall. Strong hands gripped my arms behind me and moved to push my face and chest against the stone. They held me there, their grip like iron and pressing their body into my back as I struggled. They never spoke, not even a whisper. They gave absolutely nothing away to identify them with. I was trapped. I felt my own rage building as they held me there, desperately trying to struggle free with no effect. Then I heard voices rushing towards my location. The estate security must have heard the gunshot. Within the span of a moment, I was released and shoved hard, crashing into the cement. I heard their hurried steps away from me and quickly scrambled to my feet. I hadn't even thought to look for my gun. I just ran after them. They were fast. They had already leapt atop another wall by the time I had caught up halfway. And then I stopped. I watched as they stood there, form silhouetted under the moonlight while turning to look back at me one last time. I knew that silhouette. I stood there, jarred by the realization as I watched their figure disappear from sight. Soon after, several security guards came rushing into view behind me. After asserting who I was, I explained what had happened. When I made my statement at the department, however, I was met with only disapproval. While I had been right about the phantom showing up at the Clark estate, I had not only attempted to apprehend them without backup, but had failed to do so. Badly. I was threatened with suspension without pay if I tried to do so again. After that night, I felt bitter anger growing inside me. I felt like I'd been played. In more ways than one. I tried to call Gregor's office several times, but was repeatedly denied. I even called the personal number he gave me. Straight to voicemail every time. And each time I attempted to drop by his office unannounced, he was never there. This went on for 3 weeks before I finally delivered my suspicions to the captain. It wasn't well received. I asked several times to issue a search warrant, but I was met with refusal at every turn.
It all finally came to a head tonight. After the captain shot me down this last time, I was at the end of my rope. No one was going to believe me. I didn't know what else to do. I had to find the evidence I needed. Warrant or no warrant. I stood there, eyeing the road up to the McCallum estate. It had been a good half-hour drive out here to Northbrook, where his residence was. I had parked a ways down to avoid being obvious. It was late at this point, close to 11 p.m. I would use the darkness to my advantage. I approached the outer wall of the property, keeping pressed tightly to the edges and corners to stay shadowed and out of view of any surveillance cameras. Not that I could even tell where they were. I debated how to get onto the inner grounds. I could hop the wall, but I might get noticed too easily. I hugged the wall surrounding the estate for about 15 minutes before I spotted a large oak beside the brick. I climbed up the tree as quietly as I could manage and perched within to get a good look over the wall into the grounds. It was quiet and dark. There didn't seem to be any lights on in the house. And it was a very large house. You'd think there would be some lights on. Then I noticed something else. No guards. The large front lawn area was completely empty. It was very odd. No, not just odd. Something about this didn't feel right. As I tried to assess the situation, I realized I couldn't just stay in the tree. There was no one around, so it was best to take advantage of that fact. Climbing out onto a sturdy limb, I swung myself to land on top of the wall before quickly hopping down to the ground on the other side. I stalked carefully across the landscape with my sidearm in hand, behind any bush or structure I could use for cover. The whole way towards the house, I hadn't seen a soul, and it was making me more and more unsettled. I found myself second-guessing my decision, but it was too late now. I was determined to see this through. I crept around the building, avoiding windows as much as I was able. I reached a back door that presumably led to the kitchen or pantry area. I took the handle carefully to test the lock. It was open. The knob turned easily and the door cracked slightly with almost no sound. I waited. No alarm. More and more, this seemed far too convenient. Everything in my training was telling me that this was a setup and screamed at me to get the hell out of there. But I ignored my better judgment and took the offering, quietly entering the door and closing it softly behind. I took careful, slow steps through the kitchen, slipping out into the large dining room. My steps progressed further until I was stepping out into the main hall of the house. It was a spacious area with a large staircase that met the center of the hall floor and rose to a landing that split off towards the two separate wings of the mansion. Rays of moonlight trickled in from a large window above the stair's center landing and illuminated the area in a soft blue glow. It was the only light to be found. I moved softly and slowly over the marble, doing my best to cut down the echo of my steps. But I soon heard audible footsteps coming from above me. I went still, remaining in the shadows as I watched and listened to slow, deliberate footfalls. I saw their owner slowly descending the stairs to stop on the landing, right in front of the window. The moonlight glowed against their back, casting their form in a luminescent silhouette. I felt anger burn in my chest as I looked at them. I waited for them to move, but they remained still. It was as if they were waiting. Waiting? Did they know I was here? I stood frozen, holding my breath in fear of revealing myself. I hoped they would move on, but they stood there.
waiting. After several long-drawn minutes, it was past the point I could take. Not caring about the volume of my steps, I rushed out to the center of the hall and stopped, training my gun on them.
Don't move!
They didn't. Not a muscle. They never even made a sound. I stood there, frozen with gun aimed at them as another silence drew out. Until an odd sound caught my attention. A light clinking noise. It took me a moment to decipher it was the sound of something metal bouncing down the steps in front of me. My eyes went down as it landed on the floor, catching the sight of something small and cylindrical glinting under the moonlight as it rolled towards me and eventually came to a stop near my feet. Once it did, there was an audible hiss as something spewed from it into the air in front of me. I gasped, realizing too late what it was. Gas. I began coughing, but it was useless by then. I had already breathed it in. Within seconds, my vision was blurring. I felt the weight of the gun slipping out of my hands to the marble, just before my knees gave out and I collapsed completely. Everything went black. As I felt my consciousness returning, I registered the sounds of a fire. No, a fireplace. I could feel the warmth radiating from it nearby. I tried to move, and couldn't. My arms felt glued down somehow. I opened my eyes slowly, adjusting to the dim lighting provided by the fireplace. As my vision focused, I looked down at myself. I was sitting in a wooden dining chair. My arms were wrapped in something. A sheet? Whatever it was, it securely wrapped my upper body to the back of the chair. I began wriggling instinctively in an attempt to get free.
I wouldn't do that.
I gasped and looked up quickly in front of me. Sitting across from me, not 5 feet away, was Gregor. He was resting back in some comfy yet antique-looking reading chair. He had one leg folded over the other and his fingers laced together upon his lap. I watched the light of the fire flicker against his form and within his eyes as he watched me calmly.
Gregor!
Sound surprised? Were you expecting something else?
I grunted and struggled against the chair again as I felt my chest burn with anger.
I said I wouldn't do that if I were you. You're tied down quite securely to that chair. Keep thrashing like that and you'll just knock yourself over. I wouldn't want to see you get hurt.
Hurt? You gas me and tie me up and say you don't want to see me hurt. I'm going to see you put away for this. This is assault against a police officer.
Miss Royce, you'll find that I'm completely within my rights to defend myself. If you recall, it was you who trespassed on my property, and I have surveillance video to prove it. All I've done is detain you. I could just as easily call and have you arrested for breaking and entering.
I growled again in frustration, but went still. I couldn't argue with his words.
I only got you bound to keep you from doing anything foolish, in such a way that you won't end up with any bruises.
Making sure there's no evidence against you, huh?
Hardly. I just hate to see a lovely lady hurt unnecessarily.
I watched as he leaned forward a bit in his chair. Even in the dim lighting, those dark green eyes of his were hard to ignore.
Now, since I have your full attention, let's talk about why you're here. I have a pretty good idea.
Do you?
Yes. You had to confirm what you've been suspecting for a while.
I was silent. I wasn't sure what to expect next.
You're right. I am indeed the elusive phantom you've been looking for all this time.
I choked. I definitely hadn't been expecting him to admit it so freely. I was silent for a few moments of shock before my chest was burning with anger again.
You...
Truthfully, I thought you would have figured it out sooner. You're rather perceptive.
Don't you dare patronize me.
You played me this whole time, from the first moment we met.
Not entirely, Detective. Everything you asked me answered truthfully. There were never any stores of anesthetic taken from my company, because they were already mine. You can't really call it stealing if it already belongs to you, can you? Now, I may have intentionally misdirected you, but at no point have I ever lied to you. Nor do I intend to start now. So, go on. Ask me anything.
Just like that?
Just like that? Ask away.
Fine. Then the major question first. Why?
Funny that. Honestly, I did it because I was bored.
What?
Detective, what kind of life do you think I normally lead? I was raised from youth to succeed the company. I went to a fine school, joined private clubs, spent most of my life learning business and science. Nowadays, I spend the majority of my time hobnobbing with the upper class, golfing, cocktail parties, meetings upon meetings. Do you have any idea what that's like? It's boring. Painfully boring. I've tried to find some distraction through other means. Weightlifting, rock climbing, martial arts. I even took up dance lessons for a time. They work as a temporary release, but they lose their thrill after a period. So I opted to use what I learned to try something completely out of my comfort zone. I became a thief, just to see if I could.
I sat there as he spoke, my mouth partially hung open in shock. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He couldn't have been serious, could he?
Does that really surprise you, Miss Wright? Surely you've got moments where you've done something completely unexpected just to break the monotony.
I've never stolen anything.
I think you're missing the point.
Enlighten me.
It was all about the thrill, Detective. Doing something unexpected and dangerous just to see if you could. To find out where your limits lay.
There are other ways to explore that which don't end you up in a jail cell.
You'd have been caught, I wouldn't have cared.
Are you serious?
Completely. Jail didn't matter to me. I had a feeling I would be caught eventually. It was all about seeing how long I could last. Pushing it as far as it go.
Then why did you bother returning the things you stole?
Miss Wright, I run a multi-million dollar pharmaceutical company. Money isn't an issue. I didn't have any reason to keep the things I took. And besides it being about the thrill, it was also to teach a lesson to a few ungrateful snobs.
What?
You said it yourself the last time we met, remember? All those I robbed were people I knew. Do you know why I chose them specifically?
I paused, waiting intently for his answer.
Because there are a lot of pretentious, self-important twats with silver spoons stuck up their perfumed and puckered asses. Not one of them knows the merit of hard work or the value of honest friendship. They indulge in flippant relations that only benefit them and discard them without a second thought once they've outlived their use. And they're all so happy in their little bubbles, feeling so safe and secure. Well, I figured it was time they had those bubbles popped for a change. To know they're not as secure as they thought they were. Maybe then, they'd open their eyes to the way things should be.
I was frozen in shock as I listened to him speak. I was speechless. This hadn't been at all what I was expecting. Though, to be honest, I don't know quite what I had been expecting.
Isn't that a bit hypocritical, considering your own background?
Hardly. I may have been born into this business, but I still worked my ass off to get where I am today. I had to earn my succession to the business. And I did. Not like those sycophants who got where they were purely by manipulation of favoritism.
You talk about manipulation after the way you played me through this whole ordeal?
Miss Wright's. Never once did I do anything with the intent to manipulate you.
Bullshit! What do you call that whole scene at Elizabeth Clark's home? Was that all just misdirection, too?
There was an unexpected silence then. He just looked at me. The expression he wore, he almost looked hurt.
Miranda.
I felt a sudden shiver run through me at the way he said my name, heat rushing to my face.
Everything I said in regards to you was the truth. You're a very attractive woman, and I don't just mean in appearance. Truthfully, you're the reason I kept stealing.
Wait, what?
When I first started, it had its thrill, and I intended to keep it going to see how long it would last. But it did start to get stale before long. I was ready to stop and try to find another means of distracting myself. And then I met you. The day you came to my office and talked to me, I was intrigued. Knowing that you were on the case added something new. I wanted to see what you would do. I wanted to know more about you. I got to witness your tenacity, your spirit, something I see sorely lacking in most women I've known. I wanted to see more of you. And I suppose part of me wanted you to catch me.
What?
So I tried to drop a hint or two for you to follow. And when I knew you were likely to be watching Elizabeth that night, well, I'm sure you'd call it happen.
Yes.
I had a feeling you were certain it was me somehow after that night. Especially after all your attempts to contact me. I figured that after a while of avoiding you, then you'd come seeking me out. I just had to wait.
So you knew I would come here? What made you think I would be alone?
I had a feeling things wouldn't go well if you tried to get a warrant. After all, a millionaire putting on a disguise to go out breaking into places late at night. Actually, it doesn't make me sound a little like Batman, does it? So I figured I just had to bide my time.
So all of this was just to lure me to you?
Sort of. Mainly, I just wanted to get your attention, which I did.
So what now, then?
Now? Now we talk about you.
Me?
Yes, I've answered your questions, so now it's my turn to ask.
And just what the hell do you expect me to tell you?
Well, for a start, why'd you want to catch me so badly?
You're kidding, right?
Well, not at all. It's an honest question.
Because it's my job, that's why.
Now, now. I haven't lied to you, so I expect the same courtesy.
It's not a lie!
Well, it's not the truth either, is it? Not the whole truth, anyway.
The hell are you talking about?
You were working on this case with more determination than your job alone would merit. There's something else that was driving you. As if you needed to solve this case.
I bit my lip and went silent. Had I been that transparent?
So tell me, why were you so desperate to catch me?
My head drifted down on its own. I chewed on my lip, hesitant to say anything. He seemed to sense my apprehension.
Please, tell me. You're not being judged here. It's just you and I.
To prove I'm a good cop.
What?
5 years. I've been a cop for 5 years. And a detective for almost one. But people still treat me like I'm a joke. Like it's all a game to me. But it's not. I work my ass off trying to keep up to the expectations of everyone else on the force. And yet it seems like it's never enough. But I was handed this case, and I figured this was my chance to prove I was actually good at my job. Then maybe I'd finally earn some respect.
I think you're underestimating your worth here.
And what the hell do you know? You don't know what it's like, growing up in the barrios with a name like mine and basically being ingrained with the idea to be a cop? Like it's my destiny or something. But still, I chose to be a cop because I wanted to do some good in my life. I wanted to make a difference. Yet all through the academy and on the force, I get treated like a joke just because of my name. Just what do you think that's like?
Things fell silent after that. All that could be heard was the crackle of the fire in the fireplace. I was so angry. So much emotion was roiling inside me.
It had been a long time since I'd had an outburst like that. But I just couldn't hold it back anymore. The light flickered against us both in silence. He just looked at me. His expression seemed sympathetic.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
It seems we've existed on opposite sides of the spectrum. All my life, everyone expected so much of me. It was hard to meet the bar they set. Whereas you, people expected little of you and you had to prove you were capable of more. I'm sorry for causing all this trouble. Truly, I am.
Another silence lingered between us for a while. In that silence, there seemed to be a mutual understanding between the two of us. After a minute, Gregor rose from his chair and approached me.
What are you doing?
I've kept you here long enough. There. You can go.
What? Just like that?
Well, not quite.
He turned back to his chair, reaching to the side table next to it. There was a small click sound before he turned back to me. He lifted something silver and rectangular up to my view. A tape recorder?
You were recording all this?
Yes. Here.
What?
This is why you came here tonight, isn't it? To find the evidence you needed against me. Well, here it is. You have my full confession.
I looked at him in shock once more, then down to the small cassette in my hand. He was right. I had come here tonight to find the evidence I needed. This would bring the case to a close and prove to the rest of the department that I was right. So, why didn't it feel right? I looked back up at him in question.
But if I take this in, then you'll be arrested.
It's fine. I would have eventually been caught anyway. If this will help make things right with you and your department, then it will be worth it.
Why?
I acted selfishly by doing what I did. Though some may have deserved it, I put others who didn't through a lot of unnecessary trouble. You must have all. I'd like to make this right. Maybe then.
He lifted a hand to my face, gently brushing the backs of his fingers against my cheek. My eyes closed instinctively at the touch, and I heard myself sighing.
Maybe then we might start over. Get to sit down and share that drink.
I opened my eyes to look up at him, my chest thumping as we just stared at each other in silence for several moments. I eventually turned away from him and stepped over to the fireplace. I leaned a hand against the mantel, staring into the flames. The silence continued to draw out as I felt his gaze on my back.
Tell me something.
Of course.
Why are you so interested in me?
Oh, surely you can't be that blind.
Just tell me.
Miranda, you're a beautiful woman. Not just physically. You've got a good heart and a strong spirit. You'd strive to do what's right and you work hard at your job. Even when you face failure, you keep going. All are admirable qualities. It's why your name fits you so well.
I turned and looked at him curiously.
I hope that's not a joke. I hear that too much as it is.
No, I don't mean that Miranda writes nonsense because you're a cop. Your name, Miranda, don't you know what it means?
My expression of curiosity intensified.
It's Latin. It means worthy of admiration.
My eyes widened, feeling something wash over me that I couldn't quite explain. Hearing those words made my heart swell, and I had to fight the urge for my eyes to start welling with tears. I took a deep breath to keep myself composed and turned back to the fire. I opened my hand,
looking down at the small cassette tape within my palm. My thoughts swirled intensely for several moments before my eyes closed with a heavy sigh.
I must be out of my damn mind.
With a flick of my wrist, the cassette was sent falling into the fireplace and quickly melted within the flames.
Miranda?
I stood unmoving as I stared into the fire silently, sighing heavily as the weight of my actions settled on me. I felt Gregor step up behind me then, his voice close to my ear.
Why?
I don't know. Perhaps it's because it feels like you're the first person to see me in a long time. Really see me. See past the name and everything else, and see me. And the thought of you behind bars, I just can't.
Miranda.
His hand touched upon my shoulder gently, and I turned to meet my gaze with his. I watched the dance of the firelight within those deep green eyes, feeling myself falling into a trance. He drew closer, his hand cupping my face gently. My eyes closed on reflex again, once more hearing a sigh escape my throat.
You really are beautiful, Miranda. A man would have to be blind not to see that.
Gregor.
My eyes opened slightly to see his face drawing closer to mine. Heat rushed to my face as my heart pounded in response. Our faces hovered only an inch from each other.
I don't want to do anything you don't want me to. But you should know that I want to kiss you badly right now.
I felt my pulse jump, causing my body to shake as I heard myself breathing heavier.
This is so crazy. We hardly know each other.
Does it matter?
No.
My eyes closed and I moved forward until our lips touched. A powerful surge of electricity shot through me at the contact, and my body nearly fell into his. His strong arms caught me and wrapped around me quickly, holding me to him as the kiss deepened. Everything around me faded away. It was as if sound itself had vanished. The only thing I could process was the heat of his kiss and the warmth of his body pressed to mine. I lost all concept of time as my senses were consumed by his embrace. In that moment, all I knew was that I didn't want anything or anyone else. The kiss eventually broke and both of us were gasping for air. My eyes slowly opened to look at him as we panted in unison. The look on his face mirrored my own. It was clear what both of us were seeking.
Miranda, I know it's a lot to ask after all I put you through, but stay. Stay with me tonight. Be with me. Please.
I trembled hard. There was a tinge of uncertainty lingering inside me as he made his request. But I pushed it aside. For the first time that evening, I smiled.
All right.
He smiled back at me with my answer, then brought his lips over mine once again. He kept his arms wrapped around me as my hands slid over his shoulders and neck to run through his hair. Somewhere in my mind, I could register that he was lifting me up and carrying me across the room.
Before long, I felt myself being lain back and resting against soft sheets. I opened my eyes, watching as his lips pulled from mine and taking a moment to look around me. We were in the same room, but I hadn't realized it was a bedroom. The soft lighting from the fireplace was enough to let me see the size of the large bed I was lying on. Gregor was laying over me, keeping my body cradled against him. His eyes gazed deeply into mine, showing me a soft smile that made my heart throb. He lifted a hand to brush his fingertips lightly over my lips and jaw, eliciting a trembled sigh from me. I brought my own hand to softly cup his cheek while we let our eyes say all that we needed to. He lowered to kiss me once again, a succession of soft, slow kisses that sent tingles through me with each and every one. I felt his hand slide down the side of my body to my waist and stop. He pushed up the bottom of my shirt to glide his palm over my bare stomach. I gasped suddenly, my hand instinctively flying down to grasp his and stop him. His face pulled back from mine, looking down at me in question as his heavy breathing washed over my face.
What is it?
I loosened my grip on his hand, looking back at him apologetically.
Sorry. I guess I'm just a little nervous. It's been quite a while since I've done this. I might be a little out of practice.
I heard him let out a soft chuckle of mirth at my words.
It's been a while for me too. But don't worry. You know what they say, it's like riding a bicycle. Once you get back on, it all comes back to you.
I couldn't help the small laugh that escaped my lips. It only seemed to make him smile more broadly.
You have an adorable laugh.
I felt my cheeks burn with a wash of embarrassment at the compliment. He chuckled.
And you're very cute when you blush.
I just smiled at him, lifting my lips back to his as I released my hold on his hand. There was another session of kisses between us that gradually became more passionate. We stole each other's breath away in those moments. As intoxicating as it was, we were forced to break the kiss so that we could both breathe again. We were left staring at each other, the need between us palpable as we both heaved for breath. It had been ages since I had wanted a man so desperately. He seemed to sense that and smiled down at me affectionately. Then I felt his hand sliding up under my shirt again to explore my torso. I shivered, unable to help the soft moans and whimpers brought on by the feel of his rough, warm hand against my skin. Emboldened, my own hands lifted to start unbuttoning the front of the dress shirt he was wearing. I'd gotten it about halfway opened before my hands dove in to softly stroke over his neck and down his collarbone. He responded with a light groan. I smiled. My hands went back to undoing the buttons, but I got impatient and found myself yanking the shirt the rest of the way open, nearly popping the buttons off. He pulled back, looking at me with a wry smirk of amusement.
Someone's eager.
Sorry.
Don't be.
I watched as he pulled back away from me and sat up on his knees. He quickly but carefully pulled the shirt off the rest of the way and let it fall by the bedside. Once he had, my breath stilled. I had already guessed he had an athletic body, but seeing him topless was something else entirely. His muscles were well defined, taut and healthy.
It was obvious how he had overpowered me so easily the other night.
Oh my god.
What?
Sorry. I just... You look so... Wow.
Why, thank you. I do try to keep in shape.
He lowered back down over me, taking hold of the bottom of my shirt with a grin.
And now it's your turn.
He pulled the shirt up my body and I stretched my arms over my head so he could remove it. With it gone, his gaze lingered over me in an appraising fashion. I felt a sudden shyness come over me, and my hands and arms moved to cover my chest on instinct. His hands gently took mine by the wrists and pulled them to my sides.
No. It's not fair to hide from me.
He looked down at me again as he released my arms. I could have sworn I heard a growl coming from him.
God, but you're beautiful, Miranda.
He bent down and lowered his face to my stomach, taking deep breaths to inhale the scent of my skin before I felt his lips kissing over my navel. I laid my head back, taking shivered breaths as he trailed his lips slowly up my body. His hands slid under my back, and I registered the feel of his fingers unhooking my bra. Once they had, they slid back to run along my sides. I looked down my body to watch him as his face reached my bust line. He pushed his nose against my bra, easily sliding one side off to reveal a breast to his view. I shivered as his lips trailed over it slowly, deliberately, until his lips were wrapping around the tip of it.
Oh, God.
I gasped hard, unable to help the quivering moan that escaped me. His lips played softly upon my tender flesh while a hand pushed the other side of my bra off, grasping my other breast and grinding his palm against it. My hands flew to his head and latched into his hair as he teased my breasts. Every little sensation sent tremors through me that I hadn't felt for a long time. Twinges of need that shot straight down between my thighs and made me ache. Eventually, Gregor was lifting from my chest and bringing his lips back to mine.
I love the sounds you make.
I was too dazed to reply as I felt his hand slide to my waist and hook his fingers into my pants. In the same motion, he was pulling them off along with my underwear. He moved down my body, tugging the clothing off my legs along with my shoes. He looked down at me as I lay completely exposed. I couldn't help the wave of shyness that came over me again. He just smiled at me. Somehow that smile helped to reassure me. He then lowered over me slowly and gently pushed my legs apart, bringing his head down to lay soft kisses along my inner thigh. I trembled at the touch, feeling his lips working upward slowly until he had reached my most intimate region. He kissed there a few times and I shivered. Then I felt his tongue drag over me.
Oh, Gregor!
I gasped, mooning his name on reflex. I heard him chuckle between my legs before he was licking me again. His tongue writhed against me, making me moan harder. Then I gasped even harder as I felt two of his fingers slide between my folds. My whole body jolted, and I grasped my fingers into the bedsheets. I could hear him groan at my reaction.
Oh, God, Miranda, you're so wet.
I wriggled involuntarily as he teased me with tongue and fingers. It was almost too much to take. But it wasn't long before he was rising and pulling his fingers from me. I looked up, watching as he sucked his fingers clean with a lecherous grin towards me. A look on his face made me shudder with desire.
So sweet.
I watched as he slowly slipped off the edge of the bed and unbuckled his belt. I bit down on my lip in anticipation as he undressed, waiting with bated breath, until at last I saw him revealed to me in all his erect glory.
Oh my God.
You like it?
Woof.
I'll take that as a yes.
Then there was a look on his face as if he had suddenly remembered something. I watched as he bent down to pick up his pants and root through his pocket. He pulled out his wallet, flipping through it.
What are you doing?
He pulled something out and then dropped the wallet to the floor, moving back onto the bed with the item in hand. He showed me what it was.
Just getting ready.
A condom?
I figured you'd want to be careful. I always keep one handy just in case.
I paused for a moment. Then I found myself involuntarily breaking out into a fit of laughter.
What's so funny?
Sorry, it's just... you really are something else. Most men don't think that far ahead.
Well, I like to consider myself a gentleman. And a gentleman is always prepared.
I smiled, reaching for his hand to pull him closer and look into his eyes.
Yes, you are a gentleman. You're unlike any man I've ever met.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I then took the condom packet from his hand. I gave it only a brief look before I tossed it to the side.
Miranda?
There's a chance I may be going to hell for this. And if that's the case, then I want to feel all of you.
Are you sure?
I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
He leaned down and kissed me softly.
As you wish.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Miranda. Oh, shit. You're so tight. Are you all right?
Yes. I'm okay. Keep going. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, Miranda. Oh, God. You feel amazing.
Oh my God. Quicker. Oh my God.
Just as badly as I have.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
You got some claws on you, don't you?
Sorry.
Oh, don't be. Don't hold anything back. I want all of you. Give me everything you are.
Oh, God, Gregor. Oh, God, don't stop.
I won't stop. I can't stop.
Oh, Gregor. Oh, God. Gregor. Oh, God.
me now.
God. Oh, fuck. Holy shit. Oh.
Are you all right?
Am I all right? I feel amazing.
I'm glad to hear that. Oh, you are incredible, Miranda. I never thought I'd encounter a woman like you.
What do you mean?
Someone so naturally beautiful inside and out. You truly are a rarity. I feel like I found some precious gem.
Oh, come on.
It's the truth. Have I lied to you yet?
No. No, you haven't.
Then take my word on it.
All right.
Tomorrow, I'm going to turn myself in.
What?
Well, you destroyed the tape in the fire. So I'll need to go in and give my confession in person.
Are you sure?
It'll be all right. I have good lawyers and didn't really harm anyone. I'll accept whatever punishment's due. And you'll be able to close the case. And then, when that's over, you and I can finally go out and get that drink together.
I think we're past that point now, don't you?
Oh, I'm never past the point of sharing a drink with a beautiful woman. But that's later. Tonight, I want to explore every inch of you. I want to make love to you till the sun rises.
I think I'd like that.
The rest of the night was spent exploring each other's bodies. Our passions grew into the night and even well past after the sun had risen. Needless to say, neither of us got much sleep. Gregor accompanied me to the department that afternoon. He called in his lawyer and made a full confession. He'd made a plea bargain that included explaining how he had performed each burglary as skillfully as he had. He even pointed out the faults in the security systems of the places he'd broken into so they could be corrected. Seeing as how he'd returned all of the property and no one had really been injured, he was able to get off with a light sentence. 2 months jail time and a fine. When the news got out as to who the Phantom was, it brought a lot of good and bad. Apparently, Gregor became very popular with the general public for a while. He was even signed for a few TV appearances. The backlash from it, though, was that those he had burglarized slapped him with lawsuits. Luckily, they were easily taken care of. As for me, I was duly credited with the arrest and was finally able to close the case. While things didn't change for me that drastically as a result, it at least got me a bit more respect. Better than nothing, I suppose. Honestly, I didn't care that much after that. I knew I was a good cop and that I was good at my job. The only one I had to prove that to was myself. I was done trying to impress people. Actually, my general outlook seemed to have changed. I had more confidence in myself now, and it felt good. As for feeling good, today is the day Gregor is due to be released from jail. I'll be meeting up with him at the station. The first thing on his agenda? Joining me for a much overdue drink.